Hey, Michael, can you hear me properly?
You sound perfect.
Okay, excellent.
So, where are you right now?
So I am actually at home in Sydney, Australia.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
So just,
are you a student?
I am a student. I'm a student at a Western Sydney University here.
Okay. And
Yeah.
what are you studying?
At the moment, what I'm studying is a Bachelor of Business, majoring in management and minoring in finance. And along with that, I'm also doing a full-time diploma in financial planning.
Are you really? Is
Yeah.
that with the university or is that separate to the university?
No, that's with TAFE New South Wales. So that is completely online. That's just like a side thing that I'm doing just to, kind of, bring up my knowledge and things like that.
So what kind of stuff are you learning in the financial planning course?
So basically in financial planning, it's like, things to do with superannuation, using Excel for when you're using like, for just to become like a financial advisor.
And
So just to,
is that what your plan is after you graduate from university?
it's not so much my plan, it's just kind of like I felt like I could take on more than just the degree at the time. So I was like, why not just use this time to also get the diploma, because it's a pretty well recognized course. So I was like, I love finance. I love, dealing with numbers and things like that. So it was just something that I thought, why not just, increase my knowledge and do that too.
Wait, so this is interesting for me. Tell me more about this love of finance and numbers. How does that manifest itself?
I think this love of numbers is kind of, it's practical. I love the fact that, there will always be a result. There will always, you add two things together, you minus two things together, there will always be a result. Like you will never have that, you'll always have that happy ending.
Yeah.
So for me,
Mathematics
yeah.
doesn't have too many maybes. It has some.
Yeah. Yes.
But it has
Yes.
mostly yeses and nos, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. And I love that. I love the fact that I can use formulas and I can use, different kinds of methods and things just to get that result at the end. And I will always get that result.
Do you speak another
So
language as well?
yes.
What do you
Yes.
speak?
So I was actually originally born in India.
Got it.
So I speak Hindi. Yeah, I speak Hindi. It's not as fluent as the rest of my family, but I do try.
I didn't ask you to qualify it. I just asked you if you spoke another language. It's not a test. It's
I
just
thought I
I'm
would
just
just
curious. It's not a
I thought I
test.
would just say just in case you asked me to speak it.
No, God,
But
no. How would I
yeah.
possibly know? I was joking with somebody about this a couple of days ago. I asked them, "Do you
Yeah.
speak Thai?" And she said,
Yeah.
"Yeah, but not so great." And I'm like, "How would I possibly know? You could have just said perfectly fluent. Like, I couldn't test you. There are like 15 other people in the room that could test you better, and I'm not one of them."
Well, maybe
And
we should cut that bit out
no, it's
then.
fine. It's great because it's you, right? That's who you are.
Yeah,
And
exactly. Yeah.
I'm really curious. So Khok, how do you pronounce
So it's Khokkar.
right?
So,
Khi, misspelling, yeah.
yep. All good. So basically, it's pronounced as Khokkar.
Okay,
Yep, Khokkar.
that's what I thought. Okay,
Yeah.
so you study math, you study finance, you do this financial planning thing. It's really interesting to me. Is this something that your family business is in, or is it just something you're interested in on your own?
It's just something that I've always been interested in, to be honest.
Okay.
I think this love of maths and things comes from my grandfather, which
Nice.
is my dad's dad.
Yep.
He, who I, in my head, he was a mathematician. Like he was just a genius
Yeah.
when it came to maths. Like, it was his hobby. He loved to just kind of, sit and do, like, he had a diary and he would just, do, equations and things like that. And he just, every time he would see, like, see my brother and I, he would bring like formula books for us and things like that. And it was just, I think this is where the love of maths came from. Just because, just to see someone so, like, so passionate about it. And even though it wasn't his daily job, it was just something that he would relax with.
Even
And I just
better.
loved it. I think that's, yeah. So I think that was just something that I was just interested in. And I think until I, like, until you say that you, how much you love maths, you don't really realize where it actually originated, that love of it. So, yeah. But I think it's definitely my grandfather.
And I have this theory, right? Like math is, in a way, it is life, right? Because at some point in time, you're calculating everything you do. And I was thinking about this again yesterday when I was riding my scooter around town. I was
Nice.
no, I really was, because I ride a Vespa around, right? It's the best way to get around Bangkok. But
Wow.
yeah, it's really cool. But I was trying
I
to
definitely.
fill a gap between a car and a truck, and I had to look at it and calculate in real time. is the space and distance and time, like, do I have enough of all of that? Mm. Anyway, it's just...
No, I love the fact that you say that, because just the other day when I was driving, because I have like about a half an hour drive from my house to my university campus.
Okay.
And when I was driving, I was like, you see people making these wrong decisions, right? Like they're on the phone or something like that. And it, for me, it's, I was just looking at the road and I was like, this road is just a bunch of people just making decisions.
Calculating.
You know, it's like, if you look at it in like a deeper, deeper way, it's just, these people are all just sitting here in their cars making decisions. And, you know, it's like life. You don't, sometimes you make the wrong decision, sometimes you make the right one, but like, that's what maths is. You know, you can calculate your decision and do it the right way.
I love it. So are you a problem solver, like, it, you know, by nature? Is that just in your daily life, you're always doing that?
I feel like I am. I, like, in high school and stuff, I used to have a lot of, you know, like, people would come up to me and they would be like, you know, I have this issue or that issue. And I've just kind of always seen things more logically.
Right.
So I would, like, you know, I try to apply it in, you know, real life. I try to, you know, be in the person's shoes when they give me their problem, rather than, you know, trying to see it from my point of view.
What a great way to live. Yeah. It just makes life so much easier if you understand it the way math works, right?
Exactly. That's why I love it.
Yeah. And it's weird for me, right? Because for people that aren't lovers of, you know, like, calculation and mathematics, yeah, it's just, they look at the world in a completely different way. You would, for sure.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing. Like, I think perspectives just change your life, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Your perspective is your perspective, and that's amazing. But listening to other people's perspectives and why they have those perspectives, like, I love it. It's just like, I never see things in a certain way, but if I talk to someone that's, you know, interested in something else and that's living a different life, they will just give me a whole new perspective.
Yeah.
And for me, that's just like increasing my knowledge again. And I love that.
How old were you when you moved from India to Australia?
So basically I moved from India to New Zealand at the age of 6 years old. And then from New Zealand to Australia at the age of 12.
Okay. So just bit by bit. So like a third of your life in every place, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So I lived 6 years in India, 6 years in New Zealand, and then I've been in Australia since I was 12.
So it's eight or so years, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Super.
I'm like, yeah.
So do you travel a lot?
Yes, I do. You know, if it's like, my family loves to travel, I think that's the way that we connect. You know, we at least try to get like a couple of trips here and there, whether they be domestic or, you know, a big international trip or something, you know, in the year. Yeah. We just like the fact that, you know, we can kind of just get away. Everyone can just relax and just spend some time together.
That's a good idea.
So it is.
And I was just asking to put the Singapore trip. So you went on this innovation trip to Singapore with Next Step, yeah, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And the only reason why I asked is for context, as you can understand, right? So for people that have never been outside the country or just rarely travel, you know, going to Singapore alone is just an eye-opening experience from a cultural differentiation standpoint. But you've already lived in three countries and you travel a bit. So just tell me first, like, how did you find out about the program? Why was it something that was interesting to you? And then we can talk about some of the individual things that you did when you were there and what you think you got out of it. But I'm more interested, at least at the beginning, in how and why.
Okay. So basically, I was doing one of the third year units. That's a core unit for my degree called Contemporary Management Issues. And in one of the first classes, we were actually told that if you are interested, you're able to do this unit overseas.
Wow.
But there's like an application process.
Okay.
And for me, like you just said, I've lived in three countries, you know, and I've traveled to a few countries as well. I love traveling.
So do I.
I love culture. I love to just find out about culture. So for me, this was like, you know what, I probably won't get in, but let's just go for it.
But why? So, why would you think you wouldn't get in?
I don't know. I think you just always, sometimes as a person, you just second guess yourself.
Don't do that anymore. Okay, you're done. You're done second guessing. Just from now on, there's none of that.
From now, because Michael told me to. I'm not going to second guess.
No more.
But I was so thankful that I second guessed myself, but I still went and did it. You know, And I applied, I put in an expression of interest, and you know, I thankfully got an interview. And the person that I got the interview with was, he's one of the most like remarkable people I've met. Like the interview was like this conversation. Like it was literally a conversation where we were laughing and making jokes. And yeah. I was just like, this is amazing. So that was Dr. Wayne Fallon. He's the associate dean at Western Sydney for Business. So that was how I got into Super. And like why I got into it, because just, you know, the, you know, increasing your global knowledge. And yeah, so basically that was pretty much it. That was the reason I wanted to do it.
And how long was the trip you went on?
So it was just over 2 weeks. We left on a weekend. We stayed there for two business weeks and then we came back on a weekend.
So tell me about some of the highlights. Like before you left, what did you think? What was the goal? What did you expect to accomplish? What did you expect to learn when you were there? And then how did that dovetail with what you actually did do when you were there?
Okay, well, before I left in the interview, Dr. Wayne, he said that, you know, just expect to be really, really exhausted.
Yeah.
And for me, that was like, okay, like I became nervous. You know, I was like, oh my God, it's going to be really tiring, this and that. Like I was just really, really nervous. I didn't know what to expect. It was kind of like, I get people tell you your past experiences, but, you know, your experience will always be different to someone else's.
For sure.
So I was kind of like, we'll just see how it goes. Just go with it. I had a really good partner who, you know, I was doing the projects and stuff with, okay. You know, who I was sharing the room with and things like that. So, you know, it was a little bit more comforting, but at the same time, it was still nerve wracking. Some of the highlights on the trip were, like, first and foremost, I think the Google visit was incredible. Like, you know, that's the first thing people ask me. They're like, how was Google? And I just can't get over how amazing the Google office is.
Tell me why, though. And, you know, to be fair, for the other people that have been on this trip as well, they said the same thing. And yeah. I've been in the Google office in Singapore once or twice, maybe. So I'm curious, what was your perspective? Why was it so amazing?
For me as a student, and just to see the innovation just as soon as you step in, like the innovation and, you know, the technology, it begins at the reception.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's like you, all your life you hear about the Google office and how, you know, it's this, it's that, whatever. But then when you get to it, it's like, it's better than what people said it was. And there's, I think, not a lot of things in life that are better than what people say they are.
Fair enough.
So for me, it was like Google is one of those companies that I feel really impacts the world. And I love, you know, companies like that because they're not just in it for themselves, but they're in it for, you know, the world, like for everybody else. And for me, that was just amazing because it was like when you see the office, you can see how important their employees are to them. They have, so, I mean, you've obviously been there, but it's just like they have bright colors everywhere. They have brainstorming rooms, you know, nap rooms, and like food accessible all the time.
Right.
And I'm just like, this is what employee engagement is. This is why people want to work for Google, is because they create an environment for their employees that it's just, you know, you can't fail. You just want to keep going and you just want to succeed. So for me, that was why it was just incredible.
So, what other stuff were you doing when you were there? Who were the other companies? Did you also meet venture capitalists when you were there?
Yeah. So basically, I think one of the biggest surprises that I had on this trip was the two companies that I was most excited to see was Google and MasterCard.
But what was the interest in MasterCard? Was it just the finance side of it?
Yeah, just this, because we were going for their innovation showcase. So basically, we were seeing what new things they are creating, and I was just interested because I was like, you know, they're this huge huge finance company,
right?
That, you know, like, it's, everybody knows MasterCard, you know, and it's just like, you know, I was so excited just to be like, you know, just to see what they're creating and what they're putting out into the world next, and to be able to see the things that they were making before other people. It was an experience. Like, it was something that not a lot of students get to do. So for me, that was very cool. But I think the biggest surprise for the trip was that I was more affected by the smaller startups.
Okay.
Than the bigger company.
So tell me about that.
Yeah. So basically, one of the first, so MasterCard was the first visit that we had. But the second visit, we went to this place called HiveUp. I know the lady's name, the owner, but I cannot say her first name. So I don't want to be
Chu Yin.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say Miss.
She's awesome. Miss Tian. Yeah. Chu Yin. She's awesome.
Yeah. She is incredible. She is. Like, her story was incredible. The fact that she used to work in this massive, you know, bank in America.
Goldman Sachs.
And, you know, yeah, exactly. And she, like, you know, she was telling us that she would, you know, wake up at like 8 a.m. every morning, and then she would get home like, you know, close to midnight. But she had the perks of the job, which were like, you know, she got to travel, you know, in business class, and, you know, her food was all paid for. But she gave everything up to start her own company,
right?
Just because it just didn't feel right. And for me, that was amazing, because not only did she give everything up to start her own company, but she had failed two times. Like, her startups had failed two times, but she got right back up and she was doing it all over again. And for me, it was just like, where do you get that strength from? Like, that's just amazing. For me, that was, I literally could not stop listening to her, because I was just like, that is amazing that you can, you know, just power through and just be like, you know what, that's okay, I'm just gonna keep going.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was really amazing for me. Another company that we visited through Platform E, we met with this person. I think his name is Mr. Tan, Kevin Tan, the owner of the founder of CutQ.
Right. Yeah, go right. ahead. So what was that like? So did you go to the Platform E offices as well?
Yes, we did. We saw presentations from two or three different businesses, but Kevin, his business stood out to me the most, because he just felt like the most, you know, the most genuine person. Like, he felt, I saw myself in him, because cool. His business is called CutQ. So for people that don't know, his business is called CutQ. And basically the concept of the business is because he wanted to sleep in for like 5-10 minutes. And for me, that's just amazing, because he has created this company where you, like, you order your coffee, and rather than having to go there, place the order and then wait, it's already there for you. So you just grab it and go. And it's just such a simple concept, but it's just, it's so needed. And you don't know until you're going through that, that it's needed. Like, for me, I love my sleep. So if I was in Singapore, I would definitely be using his app. But for me, that stood out, because I was like, that's just, you see a need, you make a change, and you actually implement that change in society. So just the fact that these startups, the people, and hearing about their journey, it was just so authentic. I love that. That was just, that to me, that was the biggest surprise, I feel.
Yeah. It sounds like you had an amazing trip, actually.
I do not regret going at all. Like, there is nothing that I don't like about Singapore. And on top of that, the different like businesses and stuff we visited, it was incredible. Like, that is the only way that I can describe it.
Wow. Can you give me just one more thing? And then I want to talk about the future a little bit.
Okay. So basically, one more thing I think is that during this whole process, I really just realized that you can never, you know, you should, if you want to do something, you should just do it.
Yeah.
And this, when Dr. Wayne was talking to me about it, he said, this, you'll be exhausted, but it will change your life. And this is exactly what happened. It changed my life. And you will never know how that feels until you go on something like this, or until you, you know, experience something like this. So I'm just grateful that I didn't second guess myself too much and actually did apply.
You did it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you think this portends for the future for you? You go on this trip, you're exposed mm-hmm. to a large tech company which has global, you know, global impact sort of on a daily or moment by moment basis, right? And that's Google. Mm-hmm. And then you meet Chuyin and you look at her company, Hive Up, and hear her story, which, you know, I'm in the process actually of helping her tell her story as well on a week-to-week basis. Wow. We do the Hive Up podcast, right, which is great. Yeah. I think she's amazing. And then Kevin Tan as well, through the Cut Q business, you learn about that. And Platform Me actually ends up being a really interesting place to be able to get exposure to these businesses too. So you were lucky to be able to go see this. But does it change the way you perceive how you're going to work in the future and maybe what your potential, I don't like even to use the word job anymore, but like what your employment potentials are going forward? Like, would you start your own company? Would you work for a big company? Would you leave Sydney? Like, how does this play into what you see your future?
I love living in Sydney. My family's here. But the thing is, I feel like the innovation in all this technology is more in Asia. I honestly feel like sooner rather than later, I will probably be leaving Sydney. But at the same time, I want to help implement these innovations and these technologies within Sydney and within Australia, because Australia has so much potential. And the thing is that living in India, seeing the potential that India has, but that it's still trying to live up to, I want to take these innovations and I want to make my impact on the world by giving people access to different things, to things that they didn't think that they had access to. For me, this trip, before I went on this trip, I love the idea of having my own business and things like that, but I never thought I was creative enough to, you know, maybe start something. Maybe, you know, I should just franchise or something like that. But being on this trip and hearing these stories of how authentic and genuine every single person was and just how amazing their journeys are, it gave me motivation to be like, you should do that too. You should get up. You should start your own business. You should see a need and just fulfill it. Like, for me, like I said, it's life changing. And for me, I don't think I could just be at like a desk job for the rest of my life. I just couldn't. I need to impact the world in some way. And when I figure it out, I'm sure you'll know.
That is amazing. Look, that is the best way to end. I want to thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. No, it's my pleasure. And I look forward to following what you're doing, and hopefully you do get a chance to impact the world.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you doing this. And thank you for the opportunity.